The Haynesboro Assembly shows its support for an upgraded Chilkat River Bridge, and a tragedy comes to Haynes this weekend, a Shakespeare tragedy. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more, up next. We updated you in our last newscast about the Haynesboro Assembly postponing a vote on a vehicle registration tax ordinance. The Assembly also took action on several other issues, including an ordinance prohibiting verbal and physical abuse at the Haynes Harbor. The ordinance has been in the works for several months and stems from an incident at the harbor where the harbor master was allegedly yelled at and pushed by a harbor user. While assault is already a criminal violation in state statute, the local ordinance also details that verbal abuse, physical assault, and threats against borough and harbor staff, and physical assault and threats against members of the public while at the harbor are prohibited. The ordinance also specifically gives the harbor master the authority to suspend or revoke port and harbor privileges to users, something that wasn't explicitly outlined in the current code. The ordinance also went before the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee. That group spent time developing an appeal process for the ordinance. Any person or vessel owner whose privileges are suspended or revoked has the right to an administrative hearing to determine whether there was probable cause for the action. The Assembly didn't discuss the ordinance at Tuesday's meeting, but at previous meetings expressed strong support of it. The group voted unanimously to approve it. Also Tuesday, the Assembly agreed to a proposed timeline for Manager Mark Ernest's next evaluation and contract review. The Assembly previously voted to renew Ernest's contract until June 2014, but pending a satisfactory performance evaluation. That process will take place in January, the Assembly decided. At the end of January, the Assembly will meet with Ernest in executive session to discuss the evaluation. A summary will be provided to the public. The Assembly also discussed a resolution expressing support to the State Department of Transportation for upgrading the Chilkat River Bridge to the highest possible industrial standard. In this resolution, the administration writes that the planned upgrade will include 6-foot shoulders for bike safety and address alignment, grade, curve, and debris flow problems. But resident Tom Ely said during public comment that he did not think the borough should include in the resolution wording about how the upgrade to industrial standards would, quote, ensure that Haynes Highway can support the safe transport of heavy industrial loads to and from the Yukon and interior Alaska.
And I think that the community needs to be appraised of this. And if you're going to build a bridge for that kind of truck traffic, people should be aware that that's your intention. And I would like to see any kind of discussions with mining companies about proposed ore haul be open to the public and also to address concerns and safety issues.
But Assembly members said they wanted to support the project to help move it forward. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp said upgrades to the bridge will make it much more safe, and he wants to express support to the DOT rather than deter it.
The state had quit putting this here road on the back burners. It was actually designed, I think, to be done about 10 years earlier than this, but it keeps being shoved back, so I think we need to support it so that they can get it on the front burners again.
Assemblyman Dave Barry and Norm Smith concurred. Smith said he worked on the highway in the 80s, installing culverts along the route.
The road was a mess then, and it hasn't been touched in nearly 30 years. We have a chance here to let DOT put a new bridge in, and I think we ought to go for it.
The resolution passed unanimously. The Assembly also heard from other residents during public comment period. Some citizens have commented about Police Chief Gary Lowe at recent meetings and the procedures for complaints against the police. At the end of Tuesday's meeting, Manager Mark Ernest said he felt some of the public comments had swayed into personal attacks against the chief. Mayor Stephanie Scott said Thursday she agreed that some recent comments have crossed the line between being critical of a public employee's job performance and the person themselves. In a letter published Thursday in the Chilkat Valley News, Mayor Scott apologizes for allowing some speakers to levy questionable accusations against the police chief and not gaveling the speaker. She said she highly values the public comment time at the Assembly meetings, but said calling out a person as a liar or incompetent is inappropriate. Shakespeare is coming to Haynes this weekend. You'd think with this weather it would be the tempest blowing into town, but it's actually the Juno Theater in the Rough bringing its production of Macbeth to the Chilkat Center on Saturday evening. Director Aaron Elmore said it was Haynes residents and the Haynes Art Council that actually prodded the company to bring the production to Haynes. Elmore said the audience can expect a fairly traditional interpretation of the Shakespeare classic.
I think that every design choice we make and every production choice we make comes from the text. It is not, we never look at these plays and try to think, you know, how can we try to make this more relevant? How can we set it in the modern day?
Theater in the Rough has performed about 15 Shakespeare plays over the years, but this is its first Macbeth production. Aaron said, despite the classic's dark side, the characters usually resonate with audience members.
But it's a tremendously powerful and grabbing sort of a piece of theater because it's people in it are right there close to the edge of the bone. You know, they're trying to do dreadful things that they're not really qualified or up for doing. And I think all of us find ourselves in that position at one point or another.
The performance is Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Chilkat Center. Tickets are available at the downtown bookstore or at the door. There are also a limited number of directors' reception tickets, which include the show and wine and cheese at 5:45 in the lobby. Some of Alaska's small boat fishermen will have to carry an onboard observer when they participate in federal fisheries next year. The government's newly restructured program goes into effect in January. For the first time, boats under 60 feet and halibut vessels are included. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Larger groundfish vessels have long been required to carry observers in federal fisheries for part or all of their time at sea, depending on their size. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration primarily uses these observers to record and manage bycatch, which is the unintentional catch of fish that the vessel wasn't targeting. For the most part, small boat owners and halibut fishermen have not been included until now. Julie Spiegel is a spokesperson for NOAA Fisheries in Alaska.
The new observer program applies to vessels and processors of all sizes, including the halibut sector. And it divides the existing observer program into two observer coverage categories, full coverage and partial coverage. The category for partial observer coverage, that is, those not required to have an observer on their vessel at all times, will have a new funding and deployment system.
That partial coverage category now includes the halibut sector, as well as vessels that are 57.5 feet or less in length. The agency will randomly choose boats on which they'll deploy observers. Fishermen and processors pay for the program through a 1.25% assessment on the value of the catch. Spiegel says the point of including smaller boats is to improve the agency's data and more equitably distribute industry costs. For this first year, at least, vessels under 40 feet will not have to carry any observers, although they will still have to pay the fee.
NOAA Fisheries did work very closely with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, fishermen, processors, and other stakeholders on the restructuring of the observer program. And that process included quite a bit of opportunity for the public to comment. To help shape the new program.
But major concerns linger for small boat operators, many of whom have very limited room on board for their own crew, much less another person. Fishermen are also concerned that bad weather and other logistical problems could complicate getting an observer on board when they're required. Linda Mankin is director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association in Sitka.
From the beginning on this issue, the small boat fleet has said we're willing to pay in on this program. We're willing to give the agency all the data they need for management of the fisheries, but we need a system that'll work for the small boat fleet that's not overly disruptive to our businesses or overly costly to small operators.
According to Bankin, NOAA did not accommodate many of the concerns raised by small boat owners. Instead of human observers, Bankin said the fleet had asked for electronic monitoring with onboard cameras. Such systems are in use elsewhere in the world, including the halibut fishery in British Columbia, and Bankin says her group spearheaded a pilot program using the technology for the last 2 years.
And the program was successful with a 96% success rate on species identification. We provided that data to the agency. There were our project partners. We expected that would ensure that EM would be available with small boat fleet as an alternative to humans in 2013 when this program went into effect. But the agency hasn't come through in meeting that commitment.
According to NOAA Fisheries, electronic monitoring will not be allowed as an alternative to human observers, at least during the first year of the program. However, the agency says it's working with a contractor to develop the technology, and vessel operators can volunteer to help with the study. NOAA Fisheries staffers have been scheduling public outreach events to talk with fishermen about the new rules. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
It's about to be a Twinkie-free world, or so you thought. Reflecting on the all-over-the-news announcement that the Hostess company was shutting down and Twinkies would be gone forever elicited my competitive streak. It's my theory that any food product that's mass-produced and sold in stores at one time somehow started as either an intentional experiment or happy mistake in someone's kitchen. Twinkies don't have to disappear, they just need to be taken back by the home cook. But let's be clear, it wasn't easy to find a Twinkie in Haines or Skagway when they were still being produced. And it's been ages since I've actually eaten one. 1996, to be exact. I was living with my sister and her husband in New Orleans. My mother, a dietitian, came to visit. She decided to replace a peanut butter in my sister's pantry with a low-fat version, a sly move that had my brother-in-law miffed when he was trying to enjoy some toast the next morning, and took it as a passive-aggressive comment on his weight. As he and I carpooled to work, he stopped for gas and came out of the station with a package of Twinkies. He said, "You with me?" And I nodded in solidarity as we each ate a Twinkie, metaphorically thumbing our noses at my nutrition-minded mother. But over the years, I began subscribing to more healthy eating habits. At least, I've convinced myself with some research to back me up that home cooking is less expensive and better for me than frozen dinners and candy bars. But don't get me wrong, I love food, especially sweets. My mother might be a dietitian, but her Sunday morning cinnamon rolls are stuff of legend in our family. My grandma Friednauer was a veteran of three Pillsbury bake-offs. And my sister, the Ironman triathlete, makes a rum cake that can net the high bid at any dessert auction at her kid's school. And me? Well, I still have the plaque from when my recipe won the best Swedish rye bread at the Western Montana State Fair. I was 12. So yeah, us Friednauer women proudly know our way around a kitchen. So all this whining and griping about never being able to get that golden loaf of sponge cake filled with God knows what ever again, I can make those. I found a good recipe, but it uses 5 whole eggs, some butter and sugar and cream, and it is rich and not for daily consumption. The process was time-consuming, folding little tinfoil molds, separating eggs and whipping them to precise formation. It all involved using my beloved KitchenAid mixer several times. And then there's the filling, which required careful piping. All that work did yield a pretty respectable Twinkie-like concoction, in my opinion. My husband swooned over them. They put my coworkers in a happy and sugar-induced mood. But I suppose the real question is, are they really any better for you than the store-bought cakes? My sister, the Ironman competitor, certified personal trainer, and ruler of rum cakes, swears you at least burn more calories by making homemade Twinkies.
You know, I mean, unless you literally run to the store to buy a Twinkie, I mean, you're picking it up as you're paying for your gasoline or picking up your cat litter at Target. If you make it yourself, all that time on your feet moving around in the kitchen is calories burned.
And my mom, the retired dietitian and queen of cinnamon rolls, probably has the best, most holistic view of food I know. She didn't chastise me for making homemade Twinkies, but she did toe the nutrition line. Yet, she also reminded me, especially during this holiday season when food is such a central part of the celebration, that nutrition is sometimes more than the list of ingredients.
Well, and the thing is that people need to have a treat once in a while. I mean, yeah, homemade Twinkies aren't the healthiest thing that you could do. You probably should have an apple instead, but appreciating food is not all to do about healthy either.
And I don't argue with the woman who raised me on warm cinnamon rolls and healthy wisdom. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.